It's good to be here. There may not be many of us here tonight, but I tell you what, the scriptures tell us wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So Jesus is here with us tonight. I believe that. And before we do anything tonight, before we sing one song, before we read one scripture, I want to pray. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, for thy mercy, thanking thee for bringing us here on this night. And we thank thee, O God, that we have this opportunity to worship thee. And I pray, O God, that thou inspire us this day to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth, to truly give thee our hearts as we sing unto thee, and abide over this in service, over this entire service, preside over this entire service, we pray, and we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start with number 15 in the chorus book tonight, The Windows of Heaven.
The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. Even my old tattered garment, he gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Praise the Lord.
There's a lot of things happening in this world, and people sometimes they don't know what to do, and some people think they can put their trust in the arm of flesh, but the arm of flesh will fail you. We need to put our trust in the Lord's. Why don't we go to number 19 and sing Some Trust in Chariots.
Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Praise the Lord. To God. Why don't we go to number 124, the garment of praise. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Understanding, oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and with understanding, oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and with understanding.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it is such a wonderful thing to worship the Lord. I tell you what, when you start praising God, it does make you feel better. Praise the Lord. In fact, why don't we go to number 94? We sing this one quite a bit, but it's a wonderful chorus to sing. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surround me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. God, that wonderful name of Jesus, praise the Lord. You know, the name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. Why don't we sing that chorus, number 90, right across the page. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 68? He's the Lord of Glory. He's the Lord of glory, He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory, He is the great I am, the Alpha.
beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. He is the Lord of glory, He is the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy many abundant blessings. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast kept us and sustained us, that Thou hast provided for our needs. And we pray, O God, that Thou hast continued to guide us and direct us in all things, that we may follow Thee and serve Thee to the very best of our ability. And we ask, O God, for Thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for the cause of Thy name, for the sake of Thy kingdom. We ask, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here tonight and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, there is a song that's just been in my head for some reason today. I'm not even sure why. I don't know what number it is, so I'm going to have to look it up. But it should be here. Yes. Number 30 in the hymnal, Standing on the Promises. Praise the Lord.
Standing on the
promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily when the Spirit soars, standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior, my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Oh yes, we need to stand on His promises. Well, we're going to turn things over to Shirley in just a moment, but before we do that, there are a few things we should probably pray about. I know Diane isn't here tonight. She's not feeling well, and she'd like prayer regarding her blood sugar and blood pressure, so we're going to pray for her, and I'm sure Gabby would still appreciate prayer, so we'll pray for her, and then also Rob and Tori and that entire family. We're going to go ahead and pray for them now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night on behalf of our dear sister Diane, asking, O God, that Thou hast reached down from heaven and work a miracle in her life. We're praying, O God, that whatever is wrong, we're praying, O God, that she'd be able to get that blood sugar under control and that blood pressure under control. We know, O God, that that's nothing too hard for Thee. We pray, O God, that she would be feeling better and quickly, Lord, that Thou hast moved upon her, let Thy healing virtues flow. And we ask, O God, that Thou hast bless her as she walks with Thee. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we pray this night for Gabby. We ask, O God, for a continued healing. And we pray, O God, that there would be a complete healing, that whatever is wrong, whatever the residual effects of that accident may be, we pray, O God, that Thou would take away the pain and heal her completely, we ask. Let Thy healing virtues flow, we pray, heal her completely. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. And Lord, we also pray for Rob and Tori tonight. We ask, O God, that Thou hast given them the strength and the encouragement they need. Help them and bless them, guide them in all their ways. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, with that thought in mind, we will turn this over to Shirley. Praise the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. We have a few challenges here. Amen. But God is good. He sure is good to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know we're kind of anticipating some rather rough weather, so there's not many of us here tonight, but God is here. And I'm so thankful that we can stand on His promises. I am so thankful. You know, when you trust in the Lord, you just never quite know when or how He's going to answer. And, I don't know all things, but I know I've had a lot of trouble with my neck in the past, and I was just thinking today, I think it's really moving quite a bit better. And I was thinking how it was, it was a few weeks ago, I believe, I was on my knees praying, and all it was just a tremendous click in that area. And, you know, I just don't know all that the Lord did, but I just have to marvel, because God is so good. And it just seems like there's definitely some improvements. I just thank the Lord for that. You know, I can repeat that. You know, we just never know just how or when He's going to answer. You know, but we can trust Him, and we can stand on His promises. And I believe it was a conversation I was having with Brother Tim, I think it was last night, and he was telling me something that really made me happy, because I've known his sister for a while, and we've had good visits and good prayers and times of rejoicing together and praying together and all this and that, and you know, that's all been good, but a couple winters ago, she really got honest, because we weren't celebrating the Christmas season, the holidays. And she just, it was just a long, long ordeal there for a while. And she was just adamant. And, you know, I didn't know how that was going to work out. You know, it was just kind of disheartening and hard to bear, really, to tell you the truth. But anyway, marvel of marvels, you know, I just remember just more recently it being put in my heart to pray that Debbie would see through the Christmas thing. And it is so amazing, because Brother Tim told me just yesterday that she inquired of a ministry, I believe probably a Jewish ministry from what I understood, and asked them about the holidays, the Christmas thing and all, and they were opposed against it. They were against it. And they had all their points, and you know, they presented them to her, and you know what? She could see it. She could see it. And I marvel, because, you know, there was such a wall, you know, in the past concerning that issue there, and you know, I didn't even know how to think two winters ago when she was so upset with us. But you know, our God is mighty, and our God knows how to intervene, and He knows how to touch hearts, He knows how to change situations, and He knows how to draw people close to Him. He knows how to heal us, how to save us, how to restore us, how to talk to our children that are backslidden, and you know, how to bring us closer to the Lord, how to bring in the flock, you know, those that have never heard, and those that are far out there. And, you know, sometimes it might even seem impossible, but God is so good. And you know, Lord willing, next week, if all goes well, according to God's will, we'll have Neil and Kim with us. And I just received a beautiful plaque in the mail from them, and it looks like it's hand carved, actually, and it's beautiful. It says, it talks about all things are possible with God. It says all things are possible with God, and I just think that is just beautiful. It was just really a neat thing to get in the mail. And I remember one of the very first times I was writing with Kim, and at that point her husband Neil was really, really sick, and I mean, he was so sick that I don't know if he knew he would live even, but I prayed for them, and I'm sure others were praying, and I know they were trusting the Lord, and I know they both, Neil and Kim, believe God and stand on his promises. And I remember Kim saying how they wanted to come here and be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. But she said, right now, it would take a major miracle. And here it is. They are getting ready to come on over here. And if all goes well, by the grace of God, next week they'll be here. And this may get mentioned again. But I'll tell you what. Wonderful things can happen when we stand on God's promises. He doesn't fail us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He's with us until the end of the world. Amen. He's not going to withdraw his spirit and leave us without any hope or without any help. He's not going to do that. He's going to be with us until the end. He said he would never leave us. He would never forsake us. Yes, he would be with us until the end of the world. And so we can stand on that promise. We can know that he's with us regardless of what's going on. And I'm just thankful we can see answers to prayer. You know, we have that wonderful privilege to come to that throne of grace and mercy and seek the living God, knowing that he's there, knowing that he cares, knowing that he understands, that he sees our heart and he knows our thoughts, and he's a plan and a purpose, and he knows how to make things happen, things that might seem impossible. And I know we have much to thank the Lord for. We have so much to appreciate. And it's just wonderful that we can completely rely on him. Give him our hearts. Give him our lives. Surrender that will to him. And let him help us. Oh, what a privilege we have in the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to pray right now and ask the Lord to be here tonight and help us, Lord, as we come forth with this message. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are with us. We thank you that you hear and answer prayer, Lord. Oh, God, there's nothing too hard for you, Lord. You know how to put the puzzle pieces together, Lord. You know, God, to answer the conflicts. You know how to intervene, Lord. You can keep us from the danger, from the storms, from the turmoils, Lord. And, oh, God, you can take us through them too, Lord. And you do all things well, Lord. I ask, oh, Lord, that you'd be right here with us tonight. I ask, oh, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, as we go into thy word. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Oh, God, that you find this strong man in every spirit of opposition, Lord. Do you talk to us, Lord Jesus? Oh, God, for we're poor and needy. We could do nothing without you, Lord. Oh, God, we need you, Jesus. Oh, God, we need your spirit. We need you to come down and fill the voids in our heart. Oh, God, to lift us up, to put us in those heavenly places with you, Lord. Oh, God, we need your spirit to come upon us, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would talk. Oh, Lord, that you speak to every heart, oh, Lord. And, oh, God, I thank you for those online. I pray, oh, Lord, oh, God, that you'd minister to them, Lord, that you'd answer their needs. Oh, God, and I pray that you'd answer the quest in their heart. Oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord, that you put things together according to your plan and your purpose. And, God, oh, Lord, we just come to you, Lord, knowing that, oh, Lord, we can put everything in thy hand. I do pray from a godly to the Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, God, I pray that you touch your body. Lord, I pray that you heal her. God, I pray that you touch her even right now. Lord, you know, oh, God, what's wrong there. I pray that you'd strengthen her. Oh, Lord, that you touch her afresh, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that your presence would be right there, oh, Lord, and she could know that you are right there with her. Oh, Lord, we do love you, Lord, and we do stand on thy promises, Lord. Pray that you'd be with us here. Lord, as we open up your word, Lord, that you give me words and help me, Lord Jesus, oh God. For without you, certainly can do nothing. And I thank you, God, for the words of life, Lord, that you've given us, Lord. And God, you know every need, Lord. Oh God, you know every need. And God, I pray that she would reach out and touch tonight. I pray, oh God, that you'd fill somebody with the Holy Ghost tonight, Lord Jesus. As we stand on your promises, as we realize, oh God, that you are well able, and oh God, that is your desire too, that we would be full of thy spirit, Lord. Oh God, and that you would dwell within our hearts. God, I pray, oh Lord, that you talk to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Okay, praise the Lord. I
believe I'm going to call this also, "Ye Shall Receive Power." It's a kind of an extension from what I was preaching last week. We were blessed with those visitors, and God kind of changed what I had planned to say. But anyway, I believe we will go to Acts 1:8 here to begin and go from there and see how the Lord works tonight. I'm just praying that He'll touch our hearts and draw us close to Him. Amen. So, Acts again, chapter 1. Okay, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's begin with verse 5 here in Acts, the first chapter. And it says, as Jesus is speaking right before He ascended. Well, we better begin with verse 4, actually. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. So they returned, unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And it tells us in verse 13, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. Okay, praise the Lord. So here it was. Those that heard Him understood at this point, and that's what they did. They went back to the temple, and they went into an upper room there, and there they were, waiting for the Holy Ghost to come upon them, to come from heaven. That promise of the Lord Jesus, that baptism with the Holy Ghost that He said He would give unto them, making them witnesses. And, of course, we went into Pentecost last week, and, you know, we went to Micah and just found that to be a very exciting portion of Scripture. Just to turn there for a moment here. Describing the day of Pentecost, if we look at that second chapter of Micah in the 12th verse here. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah. As a flock in the midst of their fold, they shall make great noise by reason of a multitude of men. And so it was on the day of Pentecost. They weren't exactly quiet, were they? Oh no, they were all rejoicing praising the Lord and speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance as the Lord was speaking through them. There was another portion of scripture that I had wanted to go to, and I may dwell on this more in the near future if the Lord would will. But just to cover this verse right now, it's in Isaiah, verse 27. And just to look at it as this chapter is ending, we have another prophecy of the day of Pentecost, the great ingathering that the Lord was going to accomplish when it was time. You look at Isaiah 27, verses 12 and 13, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel." Oh, I love that. You know, he calls us as individuals. He calls us one by one. And what a wonderful thing it is that he would talk to our hearts. And you know, one thing that is so important to understand, we're not going to get saved just because our parents were Christians. That isn't going to do it. It's a personal relationship with the Lord, and it's so important that we all would be called, that we'd all heed that call, that we'd all come to the Lord, that we'd all surrender our hearts. Yes, gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it tells us in verse 13 here in Isaiah 27, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem." Truly, here it was. It was the feast day of Pentecost back then, and I'm sure they blew the great trumpet to bring them all together. And there they were, those that the Lord had called for that. It says, "They shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem." And there they were, the temple and the holy mount there. And the Lord poured out of his Spirit. And it was an amazing thing because, it just comes Vicky. That's neat. So anyway, there they were at Jerusalem, and the Lord was pouring out his Spirit. And you know, it wasn't just Galileans that were there. No, it was Galileans that were in the upper room speaking in other tongues. But the crowd that assembled around them was amazed. It was amazed because they could hear them all speaking in their own tongue wherein they were born. And you know, it was a marvel and it was a miracle. And of course, that's a fulfillment of that prophecy there. And Isaiah 27, "Those that were ready to perish in the land of Assyria and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount of Jerusalem." There they were when that Holy Ghost was outpoured. And wow, you know how they were amazed, all those that were assembled there, because they could hear every man in their own tongue whereof they were born. And it mentions in verse 9 of Acts 2, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya around Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes, and it says Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Praise the Lord, there it was happening as the scripture had prophesied. And praise the Lord, there are many that received that gift of the Holy Ghost that day. You know, before that day was over, there were many that were baptized, and I believe they received the Holy Ghost too. It says there was added that same day unto them about 3,000 souls. Praise the Lord. And that's his work. That's what he does, you know. That's how he answers prayer. But praise the Lord, what a wonderful, exciting moment it must have been. But going back for a moment here to Acts 1, verse 8, I want you to notice the sequence here. Jesus had promised that they should receive power after that the Holy Ghost was come upon them, and that they would be witnesses. And the sequence of events, the timing, the places here is noteworthy. It says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And we know that it began in Jerusalem. But there was something that began to happen that spread the gospel, because it just couldn't stay in Jerusalem. It had to be spread. And as I continue here tonight, I want us to go to the 8th chapter of Acts. Because, yes, like I said, it began in Jerusalem, but the Lord began to spread it. And it might not have seemed like a really pleasant way for it to be spread, but oh my, the Lord was working mightily. And I think they began to see what God was doing as God began to spread the gospel to other parts of the known earth at that point. Let's look at chapter 8 here in Acts. Here it tells us in the first verse, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." And it's, of course, is speaking of Stephen, who died in that 7th chapter of Acts. And we went through that chapter. It says, "And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." So let's look and see what has happened here. God used persecution to scatter them, to spread the gospel. And, you know, it seemed like the very hard times began with Stephen there. You know, he was stoned. And it tells us in that 7th chapter of Acts that there was one that was witness to that stoning. And if you look at the 58th verse there, just in Acts 7, you notice as they were so full of evil spirits and all crying out against Stephen and you know, not wanting to hear the wonderful things that he had said and coming against him, great with opposition and great with violence, actually. It tells us in verse 58, "And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul." So he was privy to what had happened here in this 7th chapter of Acts. And it says, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." But I think it was so beautiful how Stephen prayed there as they were stoning him. And he said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And of course, Jesus had said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Oh, wow, the mercies of the Lord, looking beyond the terrible things that were happening at the moment. You know, the dreadful things, the great atrocities. And even though Saul was there and obviously very aware of what was going on, they laid their clothes at his feet. He would one day be reached. One day he would come to the Lord, not that much longer after this incident. So it tells us in the 8th chapter of Acts that here Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death. And it has said here in the first verse that at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. So the persecution spread after the stoning of Stephen. It got worse. And It tells us it was against the church which was at Jerusalem. But they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The apostles obviously stayed at Jerusalem, but it began to spread. And what is happening here is it's fulfilling Acts 1:8, as Jesus said, that they should be witnesses, and that it would begin at Jerusalem and be in all Judea, and then go to Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So here, this persecution has taken the gospel from Jerusalem and spread it throughout all Judea, and now it's in Samaria. So you see how that has been fulfilled at this point here in chapter 8. Verse 2 tells us, "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." So he was going door to door and hauling the Christians into prison. You know, it was not a happy thing. You know, it must have been very, very hard for them, you know, not knowing from one moment to the next what to expect. But they scattered. It says in verse 4, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." And you can see something here. They didn't fear what men could do unto them. They didn't fear. They weren't afraid. The persecution didn't stop them. In fact, it tells us they went everywhere preaching the word. And too, this is also what the Lord Jesus had told them to do. If we look at Matthew 10, verse 23, Jesus had said, "But when they persecute you in this city, flee unto another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come." So you see how he instructed them that if they were persecuted in one city, that they should flee unto the next. And that was one method that he was going to use to spread the gospel to all the area that needed to be reached. And of course, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, we see that he used that method too, that when he was persecuted, he went to another city. But this is what they are doing here in this 8th chapter. "So therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." And then it tells us about one named Philip. And Philip was one of the deacons that we earlier read of. We were in the 6th chapter of Acts. And obviously this man is full of the Holy Ghost. He's full of faith. And it tells us here in verse 5, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." And praise the Lord had prepared the hearts of these people. They received the message, and I'm sure that God had ordained that he would go there and had sent him. Their hearts were very much prepared. Or it tells us in verse 6, "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." God was using him. The signs were following him. And they couldn't be missed. You know, they had to notice what was happening there as Philip spake. It tells us in verse 7, "For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed." Verse 8 tells us, "And there was great joy in that city." Oh yes, deliverance brings great joy. Oh yes, when we're set free from sin, when we're set free from unclean spirits, from devils, and things that had tormented and misdirected us and caused us to be miserable. Oh yes, with those unclean things leave, it should bring great joy. people who had palsies, and I'm sure other ailments, those that were lame in particular, it mentions, they were healed. So there was great joy in that city. And verse 9 tells us, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. So here it is. He's a witch in reality here. And these people had given him great esteem. They had listened to him and obviously went to him and consulted him. You know, he had the spirit of divination. Divination appears, and he used sorcery. He bewitched them, and you know, he had an attitude besides that. He gave out that he was some great one. You know, I suppose he thought he was the most important person in the world there, you know. They had quite a regard. And you know, the way it is right now, it seems that people still look for that kind of person. Yes, right now we've got a world that's looking for some great one to lead them. Right now there's a pope that men seem to give great heed to. Not just Roman Catholic people, but people from many religions. And you know, he's trying to unite the religions of this world together, from what I see is happening. You know, he makes mention of the Muslims and embraces them and accepts them. And there's many others that certainly are, you know, people that you would never think a Catholic Pope would endorse, but so seems he to do. So it is, even in our daytime, day to day. But this Simon had used this sorcery, and of course we know how wrong it is to be a witch. You know, it was strictly forbidden in the scripture. And if we want to turn to some places, we can read how forbidden it was, actually. If we go to Isaiah, the second chapter, for one place. We know just the trouble that the old Hebrew people had, the first covenant people. They just were supposed to be the apple of the Lord's eye, but so often they fell into the ways of the pagans. And if we look at verse 5 here in Isaiah 2, we read, O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. It says in verse 6, therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end to their treasures. Their land is also full of horses. Neither is there any end to their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. Oh yes, our God hates idolatry. But here, the house of Jacob, at that time, was a land full of idolatry. And I think it's interesting how it says how they were replenished from the east. They were embracing the ways of the people from the east. And they were soothsayers like the Philistines. And they pleased themselves in the children of strangers. So they were embracing the ways of the heathen people, of the strangers. their land full of idols and worshiping the work of their own hands. They had fallen into those abominable works. And there it was. The Lord said, the average man was bowing down, and the great man humbled himself before those idols, obviously. He says, therefore, forgive them not. Interesting portion of scripture. But you know, as that chapter continues, it just tells us of a day when, oh wow, they're going to see and understand beyond that. And the day of the Lord comes upon the face of this earth, and all at once there's going to be sudden realizations. Those idols couldn't save them. Those idols couldn't help them. And it tells us in verse 17 of this chapter, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of man shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols he shall utterly abolish. Oh, those that don't know the Lord, though, what a grievous time. It tells us in verse 19, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. And all at once there's going to be a realization those idols didn't mean a thing. Those idols had no power. Oh, there was nothing to esteem in those idols. Tells us in verse 20, in that day a man shall cast his idols of silver, his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Oh, yes. Oh, while they're going to realize who God is at that moment, all at once they're going to be terribly afraid, and realizing these old dumb idols, they can't save me, they can't help me. All at once they're going to just toss them. Yes, let the moles have them, let the bats have them. They're no good. The Lord has risen to shake terribly the earth. It's judgment time. And it says in verse 22, as this chapter ends, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Oh yes, it's accounting time. It's time for man to stand before Almighty God. And I'll tell you what. What will you do in the end thereof? Oh yes. And that realization hits who God really is. And then the things that one has indulged in, the practices that one has embraced, the idols that they've held to, the God that they didn't fear, the God that they didn't esteem, and all at once, it's accounting day. And what will you do in the end thereof? Oh, what a question it's going to be when all at once mankind stands before the Almighty God and gives an account of his or her life. But so it was that Simon was a sorcerer. And just to go one other place in Isaiah, go to Isaiah 47. If we look at Isaiah 47 and look at verse 12. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth, if so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Those things that we just read in Isaiah 2. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth They shall wander everyone to his quarter. None shall save thee. Oh, yes. We best fear the living God right now while we have opportunity, while that door of opportunity is still opened, because the moment is soon to come when the Lord God will come to judge this earth, to redeem his people, to set them free. But the judgment day will be upon all that have dwelt upon this earth. As it says in Romans 14, verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So shall it be. And that time is upon us. That time is upon us. So we see advances being made in the world as they try to unite with one another. We realize that the end is upon us. The end is upon us. As the Jewish people look for a Messiah, we realize that they have not received the true Jesus Christ. They'll receive another one. And that day is upon them. They are looking. They are anticipating. There are many that are looking and expecting their Messiah to come very soon. But surely the day of God is upon us. And many will receive a false Christ, a false Antichrist. Oh, many will esteem him and give their allegiance and their hearts to such a one. But that man isn't going to be able to save us from the wrath of God. In fact, oh my, what a mistake to make. We never want to give our hearts to anybody but God, to anyone or to anything but God. But back in the book of Acts here, the 8th chapter, people had long esteemed this man Simon as a great one. He had bewitched them. He had held them in bondage with his sorceries. They had regarded him. And it's interesting, just a sidetrack here, that just recently saw an article talking about how many of the Jewish people embrace astrology. It comes from the Kabbalistic train of thought, which they've also embraced, as well as the Talmud, and they esteem scripture to some extent, but it seems that these other things are more important to them, and many have embraced the false stories, the fables in the Talmud, and many of them think that astrology is something acceptable, and they've gone along with it. It's a form of sorcery. It's a form of witchcraft. And it's going to be judged. But here in Acts, the 12th verse, it says, but when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And it tells us in verse 13, then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, it's amazing. These people had received the message that Philip was preaching, and of course, the signs were following, and we know that, yes, it tells us that, devils were cast out and healings, people with the palsies, the lame were they were healed, they were restored. And it was wonderful, there was joy. And they were baptized when they heard the gospel. They were baptized in the name of the Lord. And even Simon, the sorcerer, was baptized. And sometimes you don't always know you know, we don't know a person's heart like the Lord does. We can always tell if somebody has truly given their heart to the Lord and truly repented. And sometimes there might be a semblance of repentance. And, you know, we don't always know as human beings that extent. But Simon, it tells us, himself believed also. So obviously there was some acknowledgement there and some realization that Jesus was the Lord. And so he continued with Philip and he wondered. And, you know, obviously he's observing what is going on. He says, it says here, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. So he's watching with great wonderment. Tells us in verse 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the wonderful thing is in verse 17 it says, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So what has happened here is these people believed. God was working there mightily. There was great joy in the city. They had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. But yet, the Holy Ghost had not fallen upon them. And I'll tell you, you know, there's a lot of confusion about the gift of the Holy Ghost. And even to this day, there's much confusion. But here, obviously, they had not received it when they were baptized. I do love it when, you know, people go down in the water in the name of Jesus and come up speaking in other tongues. I love to see that, but it doesn't always happen that way. And obviously, it hadn't happened here in Samaria that way. They had been baptized. You know, God was working. God was using. They believed, but they had not yet received the gift of the Holy Ghost. So they heard in Jerusalem what had happened. The apostles heard, oh, there's great things going on in Samaria. They believed. This whole city had believed. Even Simon the sorcerer had believed. And God was working. There were these signs and wonders that were falling. But yet, they hadn't received the Holy Ghost. Well, we do know that the keys to the kingdom of God had been given, particularly to Simon Peter. And could it be that he was needed here to open up that door to the Samaritan people? Could it be? But anyway, the wonder of all is that they came down and they prayed for these people. They laid their hands on these people. And as they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You had been happy there, it had been joyful already, but I can't half imagine how wonderful it must have been when they begin to receive the Holy Ghost. Because I'll tell you what, there's just nothing like being baptized with the Holy Ghost, with that fire of God as he comes upon us. We begin to speak in tongues and magnify the Lord. And it must have been quite an event because Simon, remember, he's been observing, he's been wondering, you know, he's believed and he was baptized, but you know, now it tells us in verse 18, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Oh, you know, obviously it was, you know, something to behold, to see these people filled with the Holy Ghost. It couldn't have been just too quiet. You know, I don't believe when they receive the Holy Ghost, you know, that you know, it was like nothing happened. I'm sure there was great evidence. I'm sure they were all speaking with other tongues and magnifying the Lord. Simon saw that something had happened, and it had to be wonderful. It had to be outstanding. because here he is. He's thinking, oh, this is really something, obviously, you know? And I would love to have this ability to lay hands on people so that they would receive the Holy Ghost. So he offered them money. He's offering Peter and John money to have this privilege of laying on hands so people could receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 19 tells us, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. I don't believe Simon received the Holy Ghost, you know, but yet he wants this ability. He wants this power. Now, I'll tell you what, Peter could see right through him. Peter obviously was blessed with the ability to discern, and, you know, he rebuked this man. It tells us in verse 20, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Oh, what a mistake. It tells us, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Verse 22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Obviously, he hadn't repented. He hadn't given his heart to the Lord. He'd gone through the pretense, but his heart was not right. And Peter was thoroughly rebuking him because he thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Now, I'll tell you, that's not the only time that has happened. There's still today many people who try to buy the gift of God with money. Oh, yes, you know, Martin Luther was so stirred back in his day, 1517, when he put those 95 theses on the cathedral door there at Wittenberg. He was so stirred, the Lord had begun to work in his heart, and obviously began to realize that it's by grace we are saved and not by works. Because the Catholic Church, I'm afraid, is based upon works, declaring and emphasizing that you have to do works to gain your salvation. And of course, it was back in that time period that there was, you know, this Johann Tetzel that was going around and offering indulgences. You know, people would pay a certain price. He would offer them a slip of paper that would supposedly forgive them from past sins or something they plan to do in the future, for all I know, or otherwise even to help bring somebody out of purgatory. Oh, yes, thinking that you could buy the gift of God with money. It isn't going to work, is it? It isn't going to work. It didn't work then either. Of course, what was behind the scene was he's actually trying to raise money so they could build a big basilica there for St. Peter's, you know, there in Rome. And, you know, to this day, there's people, I'm sure, who do it with great sincerity, trying to buy the gift of God. One way or the other, you know, you're a Catholic person, you know, and I know there's many dear Catholic people who are sincere and even fear the Lord. But in order to have a high Mass, you have to pay more money than if you want a low Mass. And either way, you have to pay money. You know, you're going to burn candles for, you know, to try to release somebody out of that place called purgatory. Well, you have to offer money. You know, other services. You have to offer money. There has to be a price of some nature to try to gain some kind of spiritual blessing, so-called. But it's not going to work, is it? It's not going to work because you can't buy the gift of God. We know it's by grace that we are saved. It's not by works. There's no works that we could ever do to obtain our salvation. As it says there in Ephesians, the second chapter, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh yes, there's no good works that we could do to gain or merit our salvation. But praise the Lord when he saves us. We want to do good works because he puts that in our heart. And that's the path that we walk in. But we can't earn our salvation through works. And that was one thing that Martin Luther was realizing as the Lord was dealing with him and working in his heart. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. Thank God that if a person is sincere and earnest and cries out to the living God, God will begin to reveal truth. Thank God that he can reveal himself to us. And so Simon was rebuked. And he was told to repent of his wickedness and pray, God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart could be forgiven. Peter could tell he was in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And I'll tell you what, sin is not going to enter heaven. Oh yes, we read of many that are going to say in that day, it says many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not prophesied in thy name? And yet the Lord will say to them, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Sin isn't going to enter heaven. You can, you know, do this and you can do that, but if there's sin in your heart, it's not going to enter heaven. And here this Simon here in the book of Acts was told to repent because he had not fully repented. He had not yielded his heart to the Lord. He had not surrendered his will. He was looking for esteem. He was looking for power. He was obviously looking for power. But he wasn't looking for the right kind of power. He hadn't humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. He hadn't given his heart to the Lord. And when he was rebuked, he said, there in verse 24, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So obviously, Peter and John had come there to fulfill what the Lord had began there in that city of the Samaritans. And then, praise the Lord for that. You know, it is one thing, it's a wonderful thing when we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a necessary, it's a commandment. But yet we still need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you know, obviously, in this case, it did not happen when they were baptized. And it was imperative that they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The apostles realized that and knew it. And, you know, I'm sure they rejoiced for what God had already done there in that city. But yet, there was a great need that they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so it is today. Yes, God may have began a wonderful work in our lives. Oh yes, there may be wonderful things that we're getting to see and realize. And thank God, you know, there may have been repentance and the going down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. But yet, if the gift of the Holy Ghost has not yet been poured out, it's still essential, it's still necessary. That precious gift of the Holy Ghost, that power that he told them to pray for, that they would be endued with power from on high. Jesus commanded that they go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father that he said would come forth, that he would send in his Father's name as it came forth on the day of Pentecost. If we go to Acts, the 19th chapter, we also realize the tremendous need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, to receive that power that the Lord wants His church to have, that authority that we need in the Lord Jesus. Let's just look at these verses here in Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Here we see, again, these were God-fearing people, these disciples here at Ephesus. They obviously had heard John the Baptist as he preached, and he had baptized them. Thus they had repented. But they didn't know about the Holy Ghost. They didn't know about it. They had not yet heard of the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. So Paul was able to come upon the scene here, and I love how he brings it forth. You know, that was the first question that he asked them. He realized that they were, you know, that they were believers, but yet, you know, they had not yet received the Holy Ghost. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You know, it should follow them that believe. And of course, you know, they didn't have that understanding. They didn't have that knowledge. But praise the Lord, there was a spirit of acceptance within them. They received the words of Paul as he ministered to them. And they realized that they needed to be baptized again in the water. It tells us here that when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So although John had already baptized them, they realized that again they needed to take on the name of the Lord Jesus in the waters of baptism. And then when they came forth, Paul laid his hands on them. And praise the Lord, that Holy Ghost came upon them. That Holy Ghost came upon them. And oh, it must have been a glorious moment. It says the Spirit of the Lord Jesus came into their lives. It says they spake with tongues and prophesied as the Holy Ghost came on them. What a wonderful moment. What a wonderful moment. They were recipients of the gospel, of the good news. And as we see it's not enough just to repent and to be baptized. We need the power that Jesus has promised for his people. That power that fell on the day of Pentecost. How we need that. Yes, Peter, when he stood up and spoke to them, when he preached to them, you know, to that crowd that had gathered, those people that were from here and there, from all around, he spoke unto them, and he said, "We are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing this is but the third hour of the day." But he said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Yes, it follows when one has been filled with the Holy Ghost. As those tongues come upon a person, the Spirit giving utterance. The Lord uses that. And wow, the gifts of the Spirit begin to unfold in one's life when the Holy Ghost is poured out. And I'm so thankful, as I've said before, that God is not a respecter of persons. It wasn't just for one class of people. It wasn't for just one nationality. It wasn't for just one gender. It was for all that the Lord our God shall call. Peter there, as he preached on that day of Pentecost, and the people were pricked in their heart when they heard his words, asking men and brethren, what shall we do? Of course, Peter's answer, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What a wonderful thing. Again, it's so glorious that God would pour it out upon all people. And as we see the progression here in the book of Acts, first it was poured upon them that were in Jerusalem, and then it spread throughout Judea. Then we see, as we were studying here in this chapter of Acts, that it was poured upon them that were in Samaria. The gospel was spreading, and of course that wasn't the end of it. It was spread up to the Gentiles. The Gentile people also began to receive it. Oh, the glorious gift of God, his Spirit that he would put within us, oh my, so that we could be his sons and daughters, so that we could receive the promise of the Father, so that we could have the Spirit of a living God dwelling within us. Oh, praise the thing. Praise the Lord. Praise our mighty God. You know, in the third chapter of Acts, Peter is preaching also. And let's just look at this a little bit here. If you look at Acts, the third chapter, verse 18 says, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Oh, yes, all the things that were written of Jesus were fulfilled. Verse 19 tells us, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. He said, ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, entering away every one of you from his iniquities. All the wonderful blessing of God, that he would save us from our sins. But notice some things here. As I get ready to close, those times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord, what happens in those times of refreshing? It says, he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, that Spirit of the living God comes to dwell in our heart. The Spirit that was in Jesus Christ comes to guide and to lead us, to direct us, to make us new creatures in Christ. And so many things to note here. Yes, he ascended back into heaven, and he will be there, it says, until the times of restitution of all things, when everything is fulfilled in the Scripture, then our Lord Jesus will return. And all that the holy prophets have preached and proclaimed is going to be fulfilled. And of course, Moses had told there from Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, how that there would be a prophet that the Lord would raise up like unto him, that they needed to hear, that they needed to give heed to. He tells us, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. You know, there's no other way that we can find the Lord Jesus. There's no other way, there's no other ladder that leads to God other than the Lord Jesus. And if they haven't heard the Lord Jesus, if they will not hear that prophet, then they're going to be destroyed from among the people. It doesn't matter what one's heritage might be or one's background. They do not listen to what the Lord has said, then there's destruction proclaimed here. But praise the Lord, there is a promise. The promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is for all that the Lord our God shall call. And what a blessing it is. You know, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those which were lost. He came to turn every one of us away from our sins, away from our iniquities. That's why he came. Came unto the Jews first. But that promise has been extended to all that the Lord our God shall call. And what a wonderful blessing it is. It's a wonderful thing to be spared. It's a wonderful thing to be saved from our sin. Oh my, sin will condemn us. Sin will destroy us. Sin will send us to hell. But praise the Lord, there is one who came to this world that we might be saved. And he came that we might have life, that we might have it more abundantly. He came that we might be filled with power from on high, that we might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And what a wonderful thing it is. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Stammering lips in another tongue will I speak unto this people, as it was prophesied in Isaiah 28, saying, this is the rest wherewith the weary may rest, and this is the refreshing. But they would not hear. Oh, I pray that we will hear tonight. I pray that we will seek and claim the promise of the Lord, for it is all. It is for all that the Lord our God shall call. And what a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful gift. What a needful gift. We need it in order to live above sin, to have that power with God, to have that resurrecting power in our life. We need the gift of the Holy Ghost. I thank God that those people at Samaria received it. Oh yes, those people on the day of Pentecost, those in the upper room received it. And I believe those 3,000 received it. And yes, if we were to go to the 10th chapter of Acts, we'd realize the Gentiles received it there. Cornelius and all his household. Oh, yes, there was a sermon that, oh, yes, was not completely finished because those people began to speak with other tongues, even as that message was being preached. I thank God that gift of the Holy Ghost is for all that the Lord our God shall call, that power that he has promised, that we would be witnesses. Yes, first at Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and into Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of this earth. Oh, praise the Lord. It includes us. It's for us here tonight. And we can praise and worship the Lord. Yes, his presence will come down and fill our temple. We'll just reach out and accept it and embrace it. Yes, in Jesus' name. Amen, if you'll claim his promise. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for all the wonderful things that you've offered us. We thank you for your promises, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you you've touched our hearts, and oh God, you've given us eyes to see, and oh God, a heart to receive, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that you would continue to work within us, Lord, and I pray that that Spirit from on high would fall, Lord, upon your people, Lord. I pray, oh God, oh Lord Jesus, oh God, that there would be that willingness to embrace and to receive, oh Lord, and to seek thy face, oh Lord. Oh God, for it is a promise. Oh Lord, it is a promise, Lord, and we need that infilling of the Holy Ghost. Oh God, I pray that you'd fall upon your people, Lord. Oh God, that you would fall upon your people and they would receive that gift, Lord. Oh Lord, it is for whosoever the Lord our God shall call. I thank you in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God.
Praise the Lord. Well, in closing, we're going to go to number 7 in the hymnal, Let the Holy Ghost Come In. Number 7.
Trust in God and then let
the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Make the consecration, trust in God, and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.